Hello, and welcome back to the fourth episode of the Campus Clipper podcast, your guide to surviving and thriving college life in New York City. Jessica will be our host today. Her ebook, that is also currently in the works, is about why food is a form of love. Today, after our Campus Clipper interns introduce themselves shortly, we will discuss their experiences and share their insightful stories on the topic.
Junior at NYU.
Hello, my name is Sebastian and I'm a sophomore at FIT.
Hi, I'm Anais and I'm a junior at NYU.
Hi, my name is Jessica and I'm a senior at NYU.
Hi, my name is Yadira and I'm a junior at FIT.
Okay, well, thank you so much, guys. Jessica, take it away.
Okay, hi. So my book is about food as a form of love and the barriers, whether that be affordability, culture, body image, or mental health, and how they complicate that relationship. So to start off, my first question has to do with cooking. Growing up, who cooked in your house? How were meals prepared?
In my house, when I was little, both my parents cooked. So my mom, she sort of had a more, she probably cooked more. And that's just because, like, you know, she works a part-time job, and there might be other reasons, but she had, like, maybe more time to cook, question mark, not so sure. But her dishes are more, like, classic. Like, she usually does the same things. But my dad, when he cooks, and he cooks, like, he probably cooks, like, twice a week or maybe three times a week. He like sort of like he'll print out a new recipe and like he'll like try something new, go to the grocery store, pick out all the ingredients, not look if we already have things. Like that drives my mother crazy, but it's okay. And then as my brother, sister and I have gotten older, now we also sort of cook once in a while. My brother's really into making homemade pizza, and my sister actually she hates cooking, or she said she hates cooking, and then I don't know, I like to do other things. Anyways, yeah.
Yeah, I would definitely say my mom was on top of the cooking when I was growing up, for sure. My dad never really did much in the kitchen. He's not much of a cook, but my mom is, like, super into, like, she's a great cook. And now I'm also, like, having grown up, I'm also in the kitchen.
Yeah, I lived with my mom and my grandma, and so for a long time, my grandma was the one who cooked for us, but as she got older, my mom took over cooking for us. And she's always loved cooking. She literally has like at least 10 binders full of recipes from like magazines. And so sometimes she would make something from those. Sometimes she would make something my grandma used to make, like something in that realm. But yeah, for the most part, it was always her doing the cooking.
Both my mom and dad have always cooked, but my dad, he loves to cook, and he always does like these special occasion like meals, or for example today he's going to cook, I'm not really sure what at the moment, but we're all excited. Or like last night he cooked up some nice pasta, and so he's always willing to cook for us. And apart from the fact that he loves it, he enjoys a good meal himself. So
same as me growing up, mostly my mom did all the cooking. She had formed her own like cookbook. It was from recipes she made, and then her and all of her friends, they were like the parents of my friends from preschool. They all, like, I remember when I was younger in like elementary school, they would all like trade and share recipes, and like they made each of their own like cookbooks bigger and bigger. I just remember like always looking through it for like desserts and stuff, and I would like ask my mom to make them. But my mom definitely made dinner every night, and my dad would like do the cleaning, plus obviously us. But then when my parents got divorced when I was in seventh grade, my dad had to kind of learn how to start to cook, because now he obviously didn't have my mom there to cook, but he wasn't fantastic. That's when, honestly, like my brother started to cook, And I would like help here and there, but to be honest, I was kind of always like lazy. I just wanted to eat. So I never didn't cook as much when I was younger, but now like I cooked at school. Like, I love cooking, and my brother's like a health nut, so he cooks really healthy. But my dad has definitely gotten better. But now actually he gets like those pre-made kind of like HelloFresh meals a lot, just to make it easier, because it gives you all the ingredients and like tells you all the recipes. So that's how he does it. My mom still makes really good home cooked meals. But yeah.
And how does your relationship with your culture and ethnicity influence your relationship with food?
This is a hard question. I've done a little bit of thinking about how, like living away from our family and living in New York City, like how that affects our like cultural relationship with food. I think that the only way to recreate your flavors of home, like the flavors of home that you're used to cook yourself, because no matter if you're like Indian or Chinese American or whatever, like whatever your like ethnic background or your heritage, like even if there is a restaurant, like I don't think that the dishes that you're going to find there are going to be like how your family makes it, because I feel like families have their own way of doing things. So I think that like living away from home, you need to cook yourself for yourself to really like get to the bottom of what your like food heritage is, because you can only recreate that.
Yeah, this is a real brain scratcher, but I would say I grew up in my house. We ate pretty much predominantly Ecuadorian food, just because that's where me and my dad are from. Yeah, so I would say that my palate is a lot more biased towards the things that we would eat in Ecuador. A lot of pork and a lot of potatoes, pretty much, is what the diet comes down to. But certainly, I would say over the years, I've become a lot more open-minded, just because I think living in New York City, you're exposed to a ton of different foods, if you really want to. I mean, I guess if you so deemed it like appropriate, you could just eat chicken nuggets every day, but there's so much potential to explore the food culture in the city.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I'm Mexican-American, so like I did eat a lot of Mexican food growing up, and I still do, and it's because of that, I think, like, you know, especially if food is a big part of your culture, it's going to become, like, inevitably a comfort food. And so moving to New York, yeah, I really, a lot of times, was missing that. And especially being from Texas, like, there's Tex-Mex, which is, like, completely its own thing. And you can't find that in New York. And so that actually was a bit harder, missing the Tex-Mex, which is just different from, like, traditional Mexican food.
Growing up, my mom always said, there's nothing like a home-cooked meal. And I don't think I understood what that meant until when college hit and I just got really busy and I would be eating out like all the time because, you know, you have to eat at a certain point of the day. But I think food, we talked about this, I believe, about 2 weeks ago, about how food can really be an event. And I'm Mexican American myself as well, and so I don't think I really got to learn the true value of, you know, just traditional home cooked meals or just food in general until you really grow older and you really learn to appreciate your surroundings and like the home flavor, as Erin mentioned.
So I'm Jewish, so I think that my Jewish culture and my family has like a lot to do with my food palate, and just like I definitely think about my Jewish culture when it like comes to food a lot. Because one thing growing up, just like the biggest thing with our friends and like our family friends would be like brunches, and I know everyone eats bagels, but it's like kind of like a Jewish tradition almost, like to do like the whole thing, like bagels, cream cheese, lox, and all of like tomatoes, like the whole spread, and like that. We always had those like really big brunches with our family friends, and I just always think back to that. And also growing up, we always had a bagel cutter in my house, which I know it also is a, like, I mean, anyone can have a bagel cutter, but I know like all of my Jewish friends as well had one, and it's just kind of something I like hold special, because I just always think about whenever I see a bagel place, I just think about those times that me and my family friends would do that.
And when were you first expected to cook for yourself? Was the transition something natural as you were brought up when you were growing up, or was it sudden, like when you went to college?
When I was in high school, sometimes my parents were like, you need to learn how to be self-sufficient. And then they'd be like, do this chore and learn how to do it well. And then also, like, sometimes that included cooking. But that didn't happen very often. The first time I really was expected to cook for myself was when I was a sophomore in college.
Yeah, no, I would definitely say during the college transition as well. I still live with my parents. I don't dorm, so there's not as much emphasis on me cooking, but I still, like, I know the basics. So I guess I would say that I've fully transitioned to, like, having to cook for myself. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, my mom growing up was, like I said, she had all those recipes. She would not relinquish control in the kitchen. So I never really had to worry about that. But she did, like, show me a thing or two. So I do know a few things. But, I mean, I guess I could say that transitioning into college would be the time I should have learned how to cook for myself. Freshman year, I mostly just ate in the residence halls, at the dining halls. But I'm not going to lie, me and my other roommates or suite mates, we got really spoiled because my friend Leslie, who we also live with, she loved to cook too. And she would literally cook us dinner every night if we weren't, like, ordering takeout. So yeah, I kind of got spoiled with that.
I could relate to Sebastian because I'm still under my parents' household. And, as he mentioned, like, I haven't really felt the emphasis to, I guess, cook 100% by myself, like, for me. Definitely cooking is a very important skill, not only for yourself, but just to have, you know, some knowledge. I do know the basic skills. However, I definitely want to push myself to learn how to cook, and especially because my dad loves to cook. I kind of want to learn a little bit from him and be able to pass on some recipes.
So for me, I definitely, I would say I started cooking more, started cooking when I was in high school. And it was more because my parents would still be, like, making me, like, dinners and everything, but it was more because me and, like, my siblings and everyone kind of just got on a completely different schedule. My brother had his sports, so I would have, like, cheer practice, and then I would have dance, like, for hours, and I wouldn't get home till, like, 9:30, 10. So I kind of either would eat, like, leftovers, but during the day, like, in between school and practice, I would also come home and cook, like, a midday meal, snack. But I would say I definitely didn't cook as well or, like, good until I got to college when I moved off campus my junior year, when I had my house with my friends. I started cooking so much just because I enjoyed it and I, like, liked cooking for my roommates.
And my last question, do you find that there are certain barriers to you regularly eating? And if there are there any steps you take to remedy them?
For me, I feel like I've made, like, improvements, but certainly in the past there's been, and still sometimes the present, there's definitely body image issues that, like, prevent me from eating at regular times, you know, missing meals and things like that. When I'm, like, I think that happens when I'm starting to feel very overwhelmed with things in life. So usually it's a response to feeling overstressed in school or feeling stressed about relationships or just feeling stressed. So I sort of try to find a routine that's, like, healthy with school and, like, balance things a bit more, and then things start to, like, fall in place again. But yeah.
Yeah. I would say I used to be a very healthy eater before the pandemic, just in that, like, I used to eat consistently. Now, though, throughout the pandemic, I found that I've gotten to the point where I pretty much just eat one meal a day, and that's kind of it, which I realize isn't healthy, but I don't know. I just don't have the appetite to eat as much anymore.
Yeah, for me, I would say it's probably the opposite, which, like, before the pandemic, I did probably eat a little more irregularly, like, most of the time. It also depends, like, on my class schedule, and I know, like, my last semester, my spring semester, I had like 3 classes in a row. And so it was really hard to get in a meal. And a lot of times I just wouldn't eat in the morning too, because I'm not the kind of person who like is hungry right away. So it was hard because by the end of the day or by the end of my classes, like I'd be starving. I don't know. Like it's hard. Like I think it's just about making a big effort to try to stay on top of that. Because also, especially, I'm just thinking of, like, being on campus again. And, like, also once you get into, like, doing work, like, writing. I know, like, for me, when I'm writing an essay sometimes, if I finally get it going, like, get it rolling, it's hard to stop. Like, I'll tell myself, okay, I'm not going to eat dinner. It's, like, not always the best mentality. So there's that. And then now that we're in the pandemic, I feel like I munch a lot more, just kind of, like, stress eating, I guess, which is not good either, but yeah.
So I definitely agree with Anais. I feel like, especially being home and you know, working remotely, it's so easy to just start binge eating, or especially because sometimes it can be hard to just get a meal in between classes. You're just like, oh, you know, let me just grab a quick snack, and from one snack it goes to another snack. And I think it's all about balance and maybe some self-discipline too, because at least for me, there's some moments where I'm like, you know, just grab an apple versus that chocolate that you're staring at. Or sometimes I do try to eat healthy, but then again, as for myself living under my parents' household, since they do mainly cook, as for like my mom and dad, it is sometimes hard to, you know, eat healthy and then also eat, I guess, our traditional home-cooked meals. So I think it is about balance.
Yeah, so kind of the same. Definitely when I was in college, I did not have the best eating schedule. When my schedule was set up so that I had my first class wasn't until like noon or maybe like 11 or noon, I would, instead of like getting up and eating and getting ready for my day, I would just sleep until the last second, honestly, because I would, in college, I had the worst sleep schedule as well. I would go to sleep so late, either studying or just like hanging with my friends. So I would wake up the last second before I could leave before my class. So I would never eat before. And then most of the time I would have a few classes back to back and wouldn't have a break till later in the day. And I would be starving as well. So it wasn't really safe. And then after that, I would have a meal, and then I would have dinner later on. But then all night I would snack. But once I graduated, I definitely started to get more into a routine, and I'll have like 3 meals a day, like spaced out. I don't really snack as much anymore either. But I think it has a lot to do with just my crazy schedule in college, because I would have my classes, and then I would have to go and do reporting and interviews for the school newscast. And it was just a crazy schedule, so that's definitely why.
So again, my book is about food as a form of self-love, and often the barriers we run into that prevent and complicate that relationship.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Jessica. Thank you so much, everyone else. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in. I hope you learned so much from our students' experiences, as well as mine, from all of us at Campus Clipper. Have a good day, and don't forget to tune in next week.